Welcome to Yolitix, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Yolitix here. We are on the road this week, Sankofa Kitchen and Bar. This is in South Oak Cliff, south of the Dallas skyline. Shout out to Damond Fields, the owner here, who's allowing us in. Family business. His kids work here as well, too. Great little place. We're going to get a to-go order here in just a second. But our guest today is a guy that that I'm excited to talk to because I haven't talked to you in a number of years, obviously. He spent more than a decade on city council in Dallas, one of the most powerful men in Dallas politics for years. Served briefly as the 60th mayor of the city of Dallas for 4 months back in 2011. He resigned 4 years ago. This is where he made news. We're talking about Dwayne Carraway here. Resigned 4 years ago while serving as mayor pro tem. He pleaded guilty to taking $450,000 in bribes to get city ordinances passed benefiting a private company. Carraway pleaded guilty. He avoided a trial, sentenced to 4.5 years in federal prison, and now he is on Yolitix. Good to see you, man.
great to be here. Great to be back.
Our listeners can't see this, but here you are with cufflinks, tie, suit. You're ready. What are you out here doing these days?
Well, man? Now, what am I supposed to be dressed in? Huh? I'm supposed to be dressed the same way I've been known to dress.
Yeah.
And showing folks how to keep the head up and to make sure that you represent, you know, the community.
We're going to talk about the present here, what's going on now. We're going to talk about your future. We're going to talk about the past as well, too. Let's start with the present. How are you? Because when you were in federal prison, you had some health issues there.
Yes.
And you told us that you do have a doctor's appointment set up for tomorrow. What's going on? You okay?
I have many doctor's appointments set up. Let me first say, because I like to do this, I always want to make sure that my supporters and listeners and fans and family and kids and everybody know that it's not a popular thing. I'm not happy about what did take place.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I always offer my sincere apology to make sure that folks know that I was very embarrassed to go through this, to have done these things, but I've taken responsibility, and here I am. I'm back. I've done what I need to do, and still committed to making sure that I look after my community and the city that I love, and that's Dallas.
Dwayne, you got back to town last August.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing?
Everything.
Yeah?
Yeah, taking care of my parents. I mean, taking care of my mother and my uncle. My mother's 93 years old. We celebrated her birthday, and she's 93. My uncle is 90. I've been working and doing some consulting out at Michael's of Las Colinas, restaurant, venue, entertainment venue and club.
Yeah.
Doing some consulting there, trying to get my feet on the ground, staying close to God, and making sure that folks understand that he is the one that brought me through that in the prison at Big Springs, and is still over my shoulders, watching over me every day, today. So just trying to get back into the swing of things. And it's been difficult. It's been challenging.
When you
get that label on you, you have to deal with it.
The felon label or what?
Yeah, the felon. When you get the felon, you know, you've been to jail. You know, you wonder how people are going to receive you. But thank goodness, by the blessings of God, so many people. It's been so many people that's just welcomed me, praying for me, loving me, encouraging me. So it's like I was saying, it takes me about 3.5 hours to get out of Walmart. There's so much appreciation. So when I'm in there, I have to have a couple of telephones. Why? Because when people ask for your number, they want your contact information. What are you going to do? Tell them no? You're going to have act like you're stuck up? You got to give them a number to contact, and that's how I've always been.
Yeah.
And that's what people expect, and they share their problems, concerns, blessing, prayers, and all of that. Now, don't think I don't have some haters. You're going to have a little hateration committee still probably exists.
Since you've been back?
I don't care. Well, they haven't even been around because they know that I'm back and here and will continue to do the things that I'm so proud to do, and that's looking after the city of Dallas. I love the city of Dallas. Now, I'm not too fans with the Cowboys. I'm a little mad at them right now, but I'll be all right. But I say that in fun. But
I do too. The Cowboys are the same they've always been, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I say that in fun too.
I didn't really like him getting rid of Amari Cooper. I thought he's a nice young man and a good player. But I didn't like that.
Let me dive into what you're doing. You said you're consulting now. So, I mean, what are you doing for a living right now to keep the lights on?
Well, right now I'm working out at Michael's, as I stated, and keeping the lights on as best I possibly can. But my priority is still looking after my mother. She's just doing great. She's feisty. She's 93. We gave her a big birthday party. Yeah. And just trying to get my feet back on the ground. So I've reapplied, of course, for my Social Security. So and I'm of age to be able to get it.
So you didn't get that when you were in prison?
It's what?
I don't know. I mean, you don't get Social Security? Yeah.
Man, you think they're going to give you Social Security and let the state take care of you, the government? No way.
I don't know these things, man. Well, That's why I'm asking the question.
I learned, you know. So being on one side, being on the policy setting side, and then going on the inside, really, that was one of the greatest experiences of my life, to be able to see how policy is set, but then go on the inside and see if it's being followed. And unfortunately, there are a lot of discrepancies that when I write my book, and the book is currently being written, I will say a lot of things that I can't say now. But I'm going to tell you something, man. It is amazing of the things that I saw, the things that happened, and the things that I've learned. And there are a lot of good people in that shouldn't be in there for the length of time that they're there. Then you got a few people that should never get out.
Let's get into that here in just a second here. Just for our listeners who might not know, Michael Caldwell, he owns the restaurant in Las Colinas.
That's correct.
You're consulting for a longtime friend of yours.
I had him under my wing since he was 14 years old. We both graduated from Roosevelt High School, both Oak Cliff natives and homeboys, and that's where it is.
And when he went away briefly for a year, he came out of prison for mortgage fraud, and you helped him out then.
Oh, absolutely!
Now he's helping you out.
You don't turn your back on people. We are all Americans. Everyone does something. A lot of people may have done something that just haven't been caught yet. Now, you know, people run red lights. Well, that's breaking the law. So there's a lot of people that's broken the law. They just didn't get caught. Okay. At the same token, there are levels of criminal crimes that need to be litigated, and people should go to prison for. Okay, but at the end of the day, nobody, and there's a lot of people whose closets are not just that clean. But at the same token, when you go and you do your time, and it's for folks that are still coming out, and some of those that's already been out, they've done their time, and they're still American citizens and productive citizens, and should be able to be reinstated into society. And doing things and as just regular people.
Let's talk about your time in Big Spring, the low security federal prison, which is out towards Midland, Odessa. What was that like being on the inside? Were you in a cell? Were you in dormitories? What was that physically like for you every day?
You know, I was at a camp. It's nothing that, again, like I said, it's nothing that I was proud about. But at the same token, being able to not have your own freedom. And being able to set your own criteria for the day, it's not fun, none whatsoever. You're doing time wherever you are, and you know, I taught classes while I was there. You know, fortunately,
what'd you teach?
I taught recidivism classes. I named a class. I convinced my counselor, and he convinced the warden to allow me to do a class and talk on the people's level that they could understand. Remember, those folks that are in prison, the majority of them, and a lot of them, they didn't finish high school. They didn't get their GEDs, you know, and so where are they going to go, and what are they going to do, and more importantly, what brought them there? At the end of the day, you have to kind of have a talk with them and talk on their level. If you're talking to a kindergarten, class of kindergarten, you got to talk to them like that, little babies. But if you're talking to these level of people, you got to talk to them direct, and they have never had the opportunity to hear direct talk. And so I named the class of no return. That's number one. It wasn't on the federal agenda, none of that, not named like that. We made banners. I made them do class songs. We did everything that you do in a class.
You were teaching songs to them too?
And no, they wrote their own songs. Oh, okay. See, that's what they had to do. They had to write their own song. Now, here's the deal. But I graduated, and I'm most proud of this. This is probably the most proud stint that I had when I was at Big Springs. I graduated 175 of those men. They received their certificates of graduation, of graduating from that particular class. Now, these people, Jason, they had never finished high school. They'd never been recognized to be able to walk across the stage, have their name called, receive something that meant something to them, okay? And, man, you're talking about proud people. These guys were very proud. Hey, look, Latino, African-American, Anglo, and Asian. I had the full gamut of those types of students, young and old. And it was the most exciting thing that folks would look up to, and one of the most proud things that I did in order to keep that thing going and helping those folks become better stewards when they get out.
Dwayne, what do you remember about getting off that bus or that van there in Big Spring at the federal prison and walking in for the first time?
Well, first of all, I didn't. I was driven there in a private car. Okay, that's number one. But going there, you know, I had to say goodbye. And I had to look at my friends, my classmates that took me there, Arthur Vendetta and those folks that drove me there, and Charles Bush that took me there. I had to do that final, okay, I'm here now, okay? And they're gone. I can't walk away from here. I got to go in. Walking through that door was really something to say, now I belong to somebody else. Okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? What did I do to get here? Because I would never thought that I'd be going. But at any rate, that was really something to go through that. But then I had to conform. But I had my faith and trust in God, so I knew I was going to be taken care of. But then I didn't know what to expect. But at the end of the day, I just kept faith in God, and He took care of me.
How were you treated, though?
Oh, it was great. I mean, when I went there, of course. When I say great, well, folks knew me. They know me everywhere I go. I mean,
and
you know,
Big Spring out there in the middle of the Permian Basin, or close to the Permian Basin.
Well, where do you think all the inmates coming from? Right around in here and everywhere else. Hell, I mean, they knew me. They knew what was happening.
So people knew you when you got there.
Yeah, everywhere I went, folks know you. They folks know you. Look at you. You're on television all the time, so they know you. They know me, and they appreciate me. And, you know, like I said, I was not there having fun. And I did not lose my status when I was there.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that, the fact that they knew me, I had a lot of respect for them. They, in turn, some returned the respect to me and would listen. They didn't have someone that they could look up to that would tell them straight talk and would help them. And that's kind of where it was.
You stay in touch with anyone out there?
Do I stay in touch with them now?
Any of your fellow inmates or anybody like that?
No, not at this moment.
Okay.
No, not at this particular moment. I'm here.
I want to ask you about another former Dallas City Councilman you obviously know or knew, Don Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Newcomers or podcast listeners might not know Don Hill. He was convicted of bribery, went to federal prison as well, too. You watched that happen back in 08, 09, mm-hmm. I believe is when that was, or actually before that. Seeing that happen and then getting approached later on, did that make you think twice at all about what was spinning up? What was happening?
Not necessarily, because I never thought that. First of all, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. Now, I'm not saying that did not happen. I have stood up and admitted to my position and the things that I've done, and I regret it, and so I've done what I need to do.
But at the time, you didn't think?
Oh, no. In fact, when you talk about, and that's very interesting to talk about Don Hill, Don being a personal friend and someone that we knew and totally supported. It was very difficult for me to accept the fact that Don stepped across the line, okay? Of course, at the end of the day, it's ruled that he stepped across the line, as it was ruled for me. But at the end of the day, I to this very day still think that Don didn't know what was really happening. I think Don let his guard down. I think that I too let my guard down, but Don let his guard down and allowed other outside entities to come in and utilize his, maybe, let's say, position, and that led to him getting into the situation that he did, as was with me.
You were on Dallas City Council twice.
Mm-hmm.
You were term limited out, and you took time off, and then came back as well too. When were you first approached by
when? And I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah. Was it the first time or when you came back?
No. Oh, when I came back. Well, let me say, no, probably the first time. It was the first time. Let me be very accurate.
Did that cause you to run again?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
My service and my commitment to my community and my district caused me to run, the same commitment that I'll have now that I'm back, to make sure that I continue to make sure that we clean up, take care, address crime, trash, and all of the different things that need to be addressed. And there's a lot of them that need to be addressed. Remind me to address the sanitation workers before we leave today.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And as someone who covered you for years too, I can say that you were one of the ones who really make things happen.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I think I've told you that before all this happened too. But let me stick with the past here for a moment too. How many times were you offered money or gifts in exchange for support?
Well, never that. I mean, people respected me. I wasn't really offered that this time. But here's the deal. Let me tell you this. When an elected official comes to an elected official and promotes a great idea to the elected official, bring people in that you don't know, but I mean, you know.
Which elected official are you talking about?
You know who I'm talking about, Larry Duncan.
He was
president of Dallas County Schools. Yeah. And I don't want to really talk about Dallas County Schools, but I'm going to just say that.
Just so we know who you're talking about.
When an elected official bring people to you and they have a great project, okay? Have a great project. And you know, I'm the biggest kid in the city of Dallas. And it's something that's protecting the kids, and something that's going to prevent kids from getting run over by people running past the buses and stuff. That's a great idea.
Let me just lay that out for our listeners too. Larry Duncan ran Dallas County Schools. Dallas County Schools, which operates the school buses, only the school buses, or did, and they entered into a contract to put cameras that would activate to see if anyone was running through the stop signs when they're picking up children.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too much into that now, because I'm getting into an avenue that I said I wouldn't talk about. But at the end of the day, I didn't know these people. I didn't know where the hell they was from. I didn't know nothing about these folks. But this man, this is great. And it was a great idea. Now, and I don't know anything about none of these folks, but association, will tie you up. So I encourage folks to be careful, because when, you know, you don't have to know people to be able to get into trouble. But I should have known better. Let me say that. It grew into other things beyond the school buses. I was done with that. We passed that. Listen, the entire city council voted for that. It was such a great idea. And so why not would we do that and implement that? Now, here's the deal. When the city of Dallas are talking about grow south, and we're gonna have this, and Mark Cuban is doing the Wonder View that never happened, and the Cadillac Heights thing that never happened, and all these other entities of great things, the Patriots Crossing that never happened, and all of those entities to this very day are still sitting empty. Okay, and these were things. I want you to go back and look at some of your news stories that you did, and some of the stories that you all did, and then go show the project in today's time to show that Patriots Crossing is still empty, Cadillac Heights is still empty, Wonder View is still empty, and look at all the promises that were made. So when you have opportunities to change the face of your community, to bring about some development, some needed development that don't seem to be going like the development is going over at Bishop Arts. It goes over fine. I mean, Bishop Arts has just developed like wildfire in the last 3 years.
It's changed a lot since you've been back.
But you still see those broken promises and pledges from years ago.
when you move the people out of their houses in Cadillac Heights, and they're gone, but the property is still empty. You move the people out of Patriots Crossing, and the property across from Veteran Hospital is still empty. And you look at Wonderview and all of the promises of what the Mavericks were going to be and what they were going to do at Wonderview, and it's still empty. Then, you know, when some opportunity comes, you're going to peek your ears when somebody decides that they want to do something. And that happened to be what those other people that did the great things were doing. And you say, well, these guys are pretty good. So let's listen to them. They want to do this? Okay, fine. Let's take a look. That's what got me wrapped up, just by association and listening to them.
I mean,
and I just told that now. That's the honest God truth.
And you've already said you're embarrassed and ashamed, obviously, but just I mean, out of curiosity, since I've known you for so long, I mean, at what point did you think that, you know, taking a mortgage or taking any other gifts, I was like, I probably shouldn't be doing this. I saw what happened to Don, my friend Don Hill,
It never struck you?
Why?
I wasn't doing anything wrong.
By taking any of that stuff, you didn't think it was wrong?
No, I didn't take – I wouldn't. What did I do? But now they say I did it, so I'm not going to sit here on this radio show and bulk it up, okay? But what I have a right to work.
Yeah.
For somebody to say that a consultant fee for something that is not against the law, because other people have consultant fees that they get. They don't question that, you know? And at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with what was said, but it had all to do why I went and did what I did. So I'm going to take that. I saw Dunn. I think Dunn probably should have did the same thing and fess up and say, hey, look, let's get this out the way. He fought it. Instead of getting 3 years, you got 18.
Hey, let me ask you, when you were first elected back in 07 to city council, did you go through any legal training or any thing like that that might help you avoid conflicts of interest? Do you remember anything like that?
I don't want to say no, it could have happened. I mean, let me tell you something. You know, I did so much. I was so busy. And the biggest problem I had, Jason, I was so busy doing so much for my community that I was not taking care of my own personal business.
Considering that, and considering, you know, where you've been, do you think the City Hall needs to do something?
Absolutely.
What do they need to do to change ethics? We're going to get into all what's going on in District 4, which is your district.
You probably need to change all these people that's been elected for 30 years that's been lying and not doing anything. I mean, look at Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Yeah.
If I were to talk to the Martin Luther King family the way that it is now, I would suggest to them, until the city of Dallas, the council representatives, the mayor, the police, everybody, until they decide, the city, everybody, until they decide that they're going to bring some economic development, put some elbow into Martin Luther King, come take your daddy's name off the street. Okay? When you go down Martin Luther King, compare Martin Luther King with Jefferson Boulevard. You look at Jefferson Boulevard, where the Texas Theater is, you got parking meters, you got businesses, you got all restaurants, you got everything. You go down Martin Luther King, and you see what's on Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard, and you just tell me, where have these people been? What have these people done over 30 years? And it's looking like I'm talking about every elected official. From Congress,
state to Congress, to
state
City Hall,
commissioners, state representatives, city council, code, police, city manager, and city council representatives, the justice of the peace, anybody with an elected position in their name, they have a responsibility to roll up their doggone sleeves and do something about it. Period. The Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce, everybody, and the citizens have a responsibility of making sure that they take care.
To hold them accountable.
To hold them accountable, but to also to hold themselves accountable as well. Because I'm not going to let the citizens get off just throwing trash out the windows and going to the shopping centers and dropping baby diapers and things out on the parking lot. Everybody.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with you on that.
I'm not going to let nobody get away.
It is what it is on that. Let me ask you a couple last things about the past here, too. You've admitted your wrongdoing. You paid your debt to society as well, too. You're really in a unique position to advise the public, to advise City Hall, to advise anybody else who's listening, what are the red flags that citizens and that voters should be looking out for if another Duane Caraway or another Don Hill happens at City Hall?
Well, repeat that again so I can get a real understanding.
What are the red flags? You know, this was happening. You were doing this at City Hall for, what, several years without anyone knowing. In the future.
But I wasn't holding it. I wasn't doing nothing without anybody knowing.
But you mentioned also that you didn't think you were doing anything wrong at the time.
Yeah.
But
okay.
What are some of the things that people should look for, that voters should look for, that journalists should look for, and public officials who might not be on the up and up? What do you think?
Well, you know, all public officials. Let me take it slow. If wrongdoing is in the City Hall, you only need the council persons, the representative, the elected officials' vote to pass it, okay? Now, if you are a developer, the city council, for example, takes the recommendation of who?
The city staff, city manager staff.
City manager staff. City staff, okay? So now, if the recommendation is the most important thing to get to the elected official, and the majority of the elected officials are going to do and take the recommendation of the city staff.
Right.
Who does the developer go to first?
Hey, go to city manager's office.
Wait a minute. No.
Go
not
ahead,
just city manager's office. No. But who does he need the most? He or she. Who do they need the most?
I would presume the staff. City manager staff. Yeah.
But then that's what y'all need to start looking at then. You just answered your own question.
Always? Well,
I'm just saying that's where you need to look at. The recommendations that are done.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want to clean it up, I just gave you the inroad. Okay? That's what you have to take a look at.
Was there corruption happening in the city manager's office?
You're asking me all these different questions. And I'm going to stop answering these when I talk about something else. But because I've dove in it as much as I'm really wanting to. But here's the deal. I don't know about all those different things. I will put a lot of this stuff in my book, okay? Circles of Deception, that's what it's going to be. That's what we're writing. And then you'll probably learn a little bit more because I'll be a little bit more freely to talk about those things.
You can be free right here, Dwayne, if you want to, on Y'all-tics, man.
Well, I'm y'alling and I'm ticking, but I'm letting you know that I'm going a little bit deeper than what needs to be happening on this show. But it's okay, because I'm here with you, because you're my favorite. I promise you this exclusive thing, and you getting it.
You did promise that, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Anything else with the past that you think should be tied off or settled that you want to address, whether it's from your time at City Hall, time in Big Spring?
I just encourage you to and the folks to go back to the old stories, you know, because – I when I say, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I did a lot of stuff, and I was ridiculed over a lot of things that we're faced with now. I took on
let's get into this. Yeah. Let's talk about this.
I took on a lot of issues. I took on plastic bags when it was not popular.
I remember.
But you just look around the city right now and look at what you see. Yeah. You see bags all in trees and everywhere else, and you see all of the other cities and countries now. New York and everybody banned them. California banned them. We were ahead of the game, but didn't have that support. I took on the beer and wine industry. You know, all these beer stores and wine stores and all of that coming. Look at it now. We got it everywhere. Everywhere. Little bitty shops, little stores on every corner. Now, they're not like that in North Dallas, but they're like that in Oak Cliff, okay, in the southern part of Dallas. The southern part, not the southern sector. I don't like the word southern sector. We're the only sector in the city of Dallas. We never heard about the eastern sector. You never heard the word western sector. You ain't never heard the word northern sector. But every doggone thing is about the southern sector. We are in Oak Cliff. That's number one. Now we're over in the Redbeard portion of Oak Cliff. But when it's reported, they talk about Lake Highlands has its own identity. University Park got its own identity. White Rock got its own identity. Everybody got their own identity, but y'all want to say a southern sector. Yeah. And then when you give southern sector, get some money for the southern sector, then you can give $1 million over to South Dallas, and they say that's southern sector. Well, we over here in Oak Cliff, we'd get a dime of it, but you gave it to the southern sector, okay? We need to be identified as to who we are. Oak Cliff, South Oak Cliff, Singing Hills, mm-hmm. University Hills, all of those different things. Like Bishop Art is in Oak Cliff, but that's Bishop Art, mm-hmm. right? Kessler Park is in Oak Cliff, but that's Kessler Park. But I get mad as hell sometimes when people are saying Southern Sector. We're not the we're the southern part of Dallas.
That's touche. No, you're exactly right about that, because that's something that so many people in the community, so many people in media, news media say all the time.
Well, y'all correct
And at City Hall. I think you just corrected everybody with
all
that.
Right, make sure they understand it.
You made your point, because Western Sector is something I've never
you
said.
You never heard of Western
Northern Sector.
You
ain't never heard of Northern that. Sector. Eastern Sector.
You ain't never heard of the Eastern Sector. You
Come
ain't
on
heard
now.
No, you ain't heard it.
Our listeners can't see this, but Dwayne Carraway has amassed an audience here at Sankofa Kitchen. In Oak Cliff, not mm-hmm. in the Southern Sector, but in Oak Cliff here too.
Yeah.
When you got back in August, let's talk about your return. How'd you get back? Someone come pick you up?
Whatever. Yeah, they came pick me up. So how y'all want me to come back?
I don't know. You tell
Let
me
ask you this. How did Martha Stewart come back?
I don't know that answer.
Well, that's my point. How did Michael Cohen come back? So I'm coming back to say where they
away?
Came back.
Did Cohen go
wherever, yeah, wherever they went, they came back in a car.
So when you get back to town, I know you'd been back and forth for some legal proceedings and stuff like that.
Right.
When you get back to Oak Cliff, to District 4 in the city
cried.
Of Dallas, what was your reaction?
When I saw it, I saw the deplorable conditions of the city that I just left 2 years ago. I said, what the hell happened? I mean, come on, man. Look at the trash. I just showed you some stuff over on Lancaster. I showed you the dart rail that was the first dart rail in this city. And look at all of the DART. Every time we ask for some support from DART, and they know I'm going to get them. And when we ask for support from DART, they always don't have no money. But all of a sudden, here's Plano. They're going all out to here's the cotton belt. Here's everything, okay? But when it comes down to our area, we're overlooked. And they need to, this DART rail, I think the date was 1991 when it first came down Lancaster and split our community in half.
Now the line goes right down the middle of the road, Lancaster Avenue,
yeah,
for people who don't know it.
You can't, yeah. You got to go all the way down the street to turn around to come back. Yeah. That means if someone is going to Fiesta, for example, they got to go all the way past Keese to get off. Here's an old lady going to get some groceries. And she got to walk all the way back up to Fiesta, and then she got to walk with her bags all the way back down to Keys. That's unfair when in the other parts, they got elevators, escalators, air conditions. They just got everything. So don't say, I've been the mayor before, and you can't say that I've not seen Chapter 2. Everybody don't get a chance to see Chapter 2. Now, Chapter 2, when you're the mayor, you get a chance to turn the page and really see what the budget is, what the money is, and what's really happening.
Right.
So don't ever come to me and ever say, and I say this to the city, that we don't have no money. We got money, all right. We got some money. We can do some things. But DART has money, too. And DART needs to make a commitment, and I'm going to be fighting for it, for them to take that rail up from the street, put it up in the air like everybody else, open up Lancaster again so we can breathe, so you can drive and do the same things that you're doing out in the north.
Yeah.
And to not do it, and you want to know why people are pissed off, why folks are like they are. This is not a racial thing. This is a Dallas thing. And when folks come and you see all the trash, who want to come and open up a business in all of the trash? Are you going to invest some of your money over there?
Right.
No, you're not.
Right.
Okay? You're not going to do it. Anybody else going to do it that's listening to us? No, they're not. Okay? They're afraid and all this kind of stuff. And then to let these guns, and this is the governor, to let everybody carry a gun now. Okay, you just carry a gun. And all of this shooting, remember, I did the first gun buyback program. Okay? And folks laughed about that. I got Kroger to give $50 certificates for everybody to come in and do guns. I've made them aware of the guns. And look at the gun problem that we're having now. You can't pull up to a red light without being scared, think the car beside you might want to do something. You know, and look at all these unnecessary, needless killings and things. The crime is out of control. Go back and check the record. When I was chair of public safety in 2012, we didn't have all this stuff. Just compare crime 2012 versus where we are today.
And the public safety committee. Because
I didn't take, look, man, let me tell you something. I wasn't playing. And when I was in prison, I made the guys pull their pants up. You know, I made my good. I sure did.
Well, the other thing you've done, too, you haven't addressed, is the baggy pants.
Well, I just addressed it. I told you
did there, but our listeners might not know that.
Well, when they see me even at Walmart, those that know, you know what they do? They pull their pants up. They go, Mr. Carroll, pull our pants up, you know. And when I went on Dr. Phil to do the pull up your pants thing, and I was very serious about that because I do want to make sure that they understand, respect all females. That's number one. But the little girl that's 3 years old or that's 5 or 11 years old, and she's over at North Park Shopping Center or at Walmart, wherever,
right.
She didn't leave home. And your wife didn't leave home to go and see somebody's dirty underwear. And men need to man up and bring this thing to a close.
You told guys in prison to make sure that?
I didn't tell them. I had them pulling up their pants in the area where I was.
Okay, all right. Okay. You sound like somebody who's running for office.
I'm not. I may run for president of the NAACP, but the way it looked, I might have to do something. You can't never tell. I'm going to remain involved because if you were sincere, as I'm sincere, of representing this community and my community and this city, it doesn't disappear when you come back if you were serious from the beginning. So mine is, I'll stay involved in somehow.
You were with the NAACP, mid-90s?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to run again?
I don't know if I'm going to run, but I know what I said I might do. You can never tell. I know I can't run for city council. But at the end of the day, does not mean that I cannot be involved and make sure that I continue as an activist to make sure that we're taking care of our community and doing the right thing for our city.
You're forbidden to run for city council again, for public office like that again, but you can still do these community organizations, obviously. Why even do that, though? I mean,
why not?
Because you're so well known. You got an audience here for the podcast.
I'm representing all these people over here.
Why even take the time to go to the NAACP?
Why not?
Be the one-man show that you are?
I don't want to be a one-man show. I want to be a unified show and get people to be involved so we can, as a community, clean up our community. It's not just me. That can't be just me, but I can be a voice to hope that we cross our fingers and pray to God that people will jump on board and we'll make things better.
What's priority one, Dwayne?
I don't know yet. I can't think right now. You got me all mixed up right now. You got me going all over the place.
Well, let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday. You got a big birthday coming up a month from today.
Now, I didn't tell you to tell nobody. How old am I going to be?
70 years old. You want me to tell them? See?
You just told me.
I know. You're asking me.
Well, I'm a good-looking 70 when I've turned 70.
You look good. But why not just sit back and let the next generation take it? You got a lot of young men over here.
We got to train them. I mean, you got to open the door for them. Look at these elected officials that's been there for 30 years. Yeah. Who do they have? What door have they opened up for somebody? What young man do they have in their office right now that's capable and knowledgeable about taking on to the reins? Ooh, nobody. These are the most selfish people, some of them, okay? Open up the door. James Brown said, open up the door, I get it myself, right? So you got to teach these folks. You got to give them an opportunity, and I just think that they're not being given the opportunity to learn. You just can't take somebody and pick somebody and tell the community they're great. That's in a race that we're currently involved with now, and I'm not going to talk about that too much. But just to pick somebody out the blue and say this is who's good, and you don't even know anything about them, and don't know if they're training or none of that, that's not being fair to the people. That's not being fair to this community, especially when they haven't done nothing themselves.
So you got some busy weeks, busy months ahead of you.
I do.
The book is called Circles of Deception.
Circles of Deception.
And tell me what all that's going to entail.
I can't tell you what it's all going to
give me
tell.
Something.
I just told you the name of it. Buy it.
That's it?
That's all you
is
got
Is it on
do.
Sale now?
No. When it comes out, re-promote it. No. It will be a full, I plan for it to be from start to finish, from when I was born all the way to where I am. Interesting portion of it will be when my incarceration portion of it. More important, it's things that have been accomplished, the things that have not been accomplished, some things that folks I feel that need to know. It'll be the truth, and it'll be all of the truth. And anybody that want to dispute it, take me to court.
So are we looking at Dwayne Carroway's big comeback here?
I don't want to call it a big comeback. I mean, I'm just here. I'm just like everybody. I'm just like you. I'm just back. But I'm not going to.
But you're not going into the shadows at all. You're determined to stay relevant, to stay out there.
I'm not determined to stay relevant. I am going to continue. The word is continue to stay relevant. Continue to look after the kids. continue to educate, continue to open up doors, continue to help people that are just asking simple questions. Yeah, I meant about help people. Let me tell you about these sanitation workers. I want you to do it.
City of Dallas?
Yes. Now, you know I fought for the sanitation workers who ride on the back of the trucks, who's picking up everybody that's listening's dirty trash. Some of the trash that they pick up even have maggots in them and every single thing, okay? Mm-hmm. These guys are swinging on the back of the truck, okay? Riding on the back of the truck. They do not, if they fall off the truck, they do not have insurance. Now, that's bullcoin. Now, these guys need a job
so bad. Are they contractors? They're
contractors,
right? I don't
care who they are. They're picking up Dallas's trash. Right. So it's Dallas's problem, okay?
Why does the city offer insurance to them?
I want you to go and ask them. You the reporter. You go ask them why. Put the microphone in their face. Let them tell us why these human beings, these guys that's picking up our dirty trash, in the midst of even COVID and all of these pandemics, these guys are dealing with the trash. And our trash, and North Dallas' trash, to make sure you understand. Highland Park's trash, everybody else's trash, so I'm going to make sure you understand that. But they are uninsured. The only thing, this new company, I understand, it just had a new company 5 months ago.
A new contractor that works
for the
city. A new
contract, whatever it is. Yeah. And the only thing he gave these guys, guess what, was a vest with their name on the back.
Yeah.
A&A, whoever they are. I want to know who I'm talking about, too. And so that is what news ought to be about. It shouldn't be about where the hell I've been in prison. It should be about those that just got out of prison and those other people and what we can do to help bring them back into society, okay, and make them productive citizens. That should be what the talk is as far as I'm concerned. Now,
are you going to push for that?
I just pushed them. Is this going to air?
Absolutely.
I just pushed for it.
Are you going to do anything more, though?
I'm going to do everything that you do when I'm doing it. I want you to come and report it.
You know, you got my number.
Yeah, I got it. So I'm honest, but
no,
it's sensitive things like that I care about, you know, because when it's raining, they don't even have a raincoat. Yeah. They're on the back of the truck without a raincoat. Yeah. Now, if you're going to let the company make some money, then you make sure that the people that are citizens of this city are taken care of or insured if they fall, Jason. Off the truck.
They're on their own. And for people who don't know this, the city of Dallas contracts out with private sanitation companies. I believe that's right.
That's
and the contractors drive city of Dallas trucks and you know, stand on the back and pick up the trash all across the place.
And here's the deal. And if they drive in our truck, then that's Dallas's truck too. Yeah. Okay? So we ought to have some kind of level of exposure. And so a lot of different things, you know. And I want you to look at that Deck Park because, you know, I see them where they're going with it. Now, you know who Deck Park that is.
I know
who Deck Park is.
That's Dwayne Carraway got it going here.
All right.
And they called it the Rec Park because they
called it the Rec Park?
Your successor, Carolyn. Carolyn King Arnold.
Okay. All right.
But for our listeners who might not know
this. Is it a Rec Park now?
It's going up right now.
Is it beautiful?
I haven't seen it yet. It's not up yet.
Well, read the morning news today.
All right. Is it in there?
It's in there.
For the listeners who might not know that, too, the city of Dallas has a successful park they built on top of the Woodall Rogers Freeway in downtown Dallas.
Right.
Dwayne Carraway, when he's on city council, pushed for and got a second Deck Park.
That's correct.
Which will be over Interstate 35 in Oak Cliff.
And
it's being built right now.
It's being built right now.
Yeah.
But it's having some problems, but it's no longer going to have problems because now I'm back in here to make sure that we take care of that.
You going to shepherd that?
Of course. Show the video of when we were out there when that lady would attack me. Okay.
I remember that. You sound like, you got a lot to do, man.
I got a lot to do. And as long as God allowed me to be here to do it, I'm going to get it done. I'm committed, man. This is my city.
Well, you got a big birthday coming up. Happy birthday. Good to see you again. Thanks for doing Yolitics with us.
How old are you?
I turned 50 in June. So I got a big birthday coming up, too, man. We need to go out and celebrate somewhere.
I will.
Man, it's good to see you. Thanks so much.
Hey, no, thank you.